As investments go, cryptocurrency has been thought of as a high-risk choice with the potential for a high return. That's generally been true. However, if a player in this arena decides to, let's call it, go rogue, how does that help in what is already a high-risk play? That's what we're seeing now with the saga of FTX. Does this open the door more than ever now to federal regulation of crypto? Is this a reminder of how crypto should always be considered when it comes to investments? Well, and what's the most stable way to include crypto in your portfolio? Here with us to explore all this is the founder of True Code Capital and also author of the forthcoming book, Cryptocurrency Risk Management, a guide for the family wealth managers, Joshua Peck. How are you today, sir?
Just fine. How are you doing, Chris?
Thank you for coming in to explain what is, well, probably for a great deal of people at various levels, certainly concerning time. TrueCodeCapital.com is where we're going to learn more about Joshua's business and services that he provides. Let's start with the couple of the players in this, and we'll get into the recent news. Who is, and we're getting close now to saying who was, Sam Bankman-Fried?
Well, Sam Bankman-Fried was a really interesting kind of tech whiz who, you know, kind of fit the, you know, traditional Silicon Valley, you know, just straight out of central casting there, you know, dropped out of an Ivy, you know, started some technology company that went, you know, pretty crazy for a while. And, you know, and so it was a great story for a while, but he was the founder of first Alameda Research, which was his hedge fund. And then later they spun off FTX, the exchange that's in the headlines this week.
Now, explain the role of FTX. You call it an exchange because maybe a lot more people are familiar with Coinbase for those who are involved with crypto. What common ground does Coinbase and FTX have, and how, or in versus, and compared to that, how separate are they as the way they operate and what they are able to do or not do?
Yeah, they're totally separate companies. There's some key differences there. They're both cryptocurrency exchanges in that there are places where that you could go on and you could go, you know, sign up for an account and log in on your phone or on your computer and buy or sell cryptocurrencies. Where they differ a bit, though, is Coinbase is domiciled and registered in the U.S., where FTX was in the Bahamas. So they were excluded from quite a bit of regulatory oversight, and which allowed them to do, you know, some more interesting things in terms of derivatives contracts and things like that, but also precluded them from oversight that helped lead to their demise as well.
Which is kind of hypocritical because Bankman-Fried had been a vocal proponent of regulations for crypto. It's sort of like not practicing what he is looking to preach.
I think there's a little bit of that. I also think that, you know, in all sincerity, the industry would benefit from some sane regulation, right? You know, the FTX division that's based in the U.S. as of yet still is processing customer withdrawals. And that's because many of these states in the U.S. have been ahead of the curve rather than the federal government with regard to issuing state regulations. And the firms that operate in the U.S. comply with the state regulations, and it elevates the customer experience and increases their safety.
And for you listening, if you want to turn back the clock and go back to 2013, what is happening right now with FTX is something that MF Global had gotten caught with, but because MF Global fell under U.S. regulations, like I said, go back and look at those painful times and maybe have to relive them if that was part of your financial situation back in those days. So the breaking news the end of this week has been that Sam Bankman-Fried stepped down as CEO of FTX. FTX and its, I think, 100-plus affiliated companies have declared bankruptcy because, well, I guess it's, you know, overstating the obvious. When you're staring at a $9.4 billion hole, what choice do you really have at that point?
Yeah, and I think that the really concerning thing about the FTX failure wasn't so much that cryptocurrency exchanges are dangerous, but they were. It appears that they were lending customer funds to their personal hedge fund and then investing it in illiquid investments.
A majority of the fund,
and collateralizing it with a token that they basically minted out of thin air. They just invented a new cryptocurrency and sold a few of them and said, okay, well, now it's valued at this and we're going to collateralize loans and then we're just going to borrow our customers' assets with it. And so that's a pretty concerning behavior, and certainly not something that would be consistent with what should be going on, you know, especially in the U.S.
Those were the FTT tokens, which I think were in double digits, somewhere between $30 and $50, mm-hmm. depending on where it sat any given day. But then it plummeted down to around $3. And mm-hmm. now, obviously, it's a souvenir of probably better decisions for a future time. What kind of ripple effect is this having? What can it possibly have on the cryptocurrency as a platform overall? Because people, there's always, I believe, a large number of people who are curious and interested, but then they hear, much like I alluded to in the introduction, well, it's high risk. So, I mean, someone certainly 65 isn't going to be dropping a majority of their money, but someone, a Gen Z or Gen X, might be thinking about it, hear this and go, wait a minute now.
Yeah, and I think you have to differentiate between the cryptocurrency industry, the businesses around cryptocurrencies, and the cryptocurrencies themselves. All of the cryptocurrency networks are fine, right? They're all operating, they're all processing transactions just as they were before this happened. What's happened is that people who invested on this exchange, and it was the third largest exchange in the world, this would be like Bank of America in the banking, suspending deposits for suspending withdrawals for people. So there's like this really big player just suspended, you know, people's ability to get their money back. So the shockwaves are going to be tremendous. I personally have met in the past 24 hours, I've talked to people that, you know, in aggregate have probably lost $10 or $15 million combined, you know, just because of, you know, I'm doing a lot of press and talking to, you know, a lot of people because of the book. And they're always like, well, what do we do? And I'm just like, you know, there's not really a lot to do when you have all your money stored on this very offshore, very leveraged, very complicated type of entity. The U.S. exchanges, Coinbase, Gemini, you know, these other exchanges that have achieved their SOC 2 compliance and they've been operating in compliance with the state regulators, they're all fine, right? This is a giant... It's a giant black eye for the industry that this was allowed to happen and that this guy was elevated so much as kind of a hero to the industry. But really, the industry will move on. We saw this in 2014 when Mt. Gox failed. And at that time, Mt. Gox was basically the only crypto exchange that were the people that was doing significant volume. Now there's 6, 10, 12 serious major exchanges around the world that are good quality, and they'll absorb this liquidity. It's just going to be, it's going to take the market a while for people to digest the fact that so many people invested in crypto and lost a lot of money.
So with Joshua Peck, who is the founder of True Code Capital, also author of the forthcoming book, Cryptocurrency Risk Management, a guide for the family wealth managers, truecodecapital.com, his website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. For the person, again, who's on the outside been considering, when they hear of cryptocurrency, they think that this is an investment avenue that's tied to a currency, like you're buying into a dollar, you're buying into a treasury, something like that. Is it more accurate to look at it as if you were investing in a commodity like silver? Because the industry also uses the term mining. I'm making the analogy here, but if you look at it more like silver, gold, platinum, is that something more sane to look at it as and more accurate versus a currency? Because silver, a precious metal, is based on supply and accessibility to any remaining supply. That's sort of where crypto is based on.
Right. I think we have to think about cryptocurrencies as just a new asset class. And it tends to have high growth, kind of like a NASDAQ or a tech stock, but it's also not valued. Like we don't get, we can't use a discounted cash flow analysis on it and say, oh, well, the earnings of this Bitcoin are such and such, and then, you know, back into a value on it. It's priced, just like you're talking about, much like commodities, oil, gas, energy futures. Those are all much more how the market acts there. And I think in terms of portfolio construction, the way to think about it is a growth asset. It's something that's completely new and completely different. And that's really what I've tried to focus on, is like, we have this new animal out here in the world. Now, what is the risk profile of that? What is its use in your portfolio? You know, where does this fit into the world of finance? Because it's here. And so we're going to have to deal with it. And then, you know, every person can decide, oh, I want a lot of this in my portfolio, a little of this in my portfolio, or maybe none at all.
The philosophy that the suggested working philosophy is always to buy on the dip, buy on the low. So for those who have been considering, and again, I don't know whether you recommend what level you recommend as going in as part of an overall portfolio. That's what you would learn about when you contact Joshua's organization, True Code Capital, through truecodecapital.com. But is this really the mother of all dips and something that has a great upside potential that now just might be the time if you've been pondering it?
Yeah, I believe it is, but I would caution people against trying to time the absolute bottom. And, you know, we've kind of been having this sort of crypto winter event here really since about January of this year. It's been in this phase where it's been in a pretty good downtrend for the better part of a year. And, you know, for probably 3 or 4 months, I've been saying, you know, don't just go all in. Start accumulating over the next 3, 6, 12 months. Divide your capital, accumulate a little bit over time. You know, that way you pick up some, you know, this week when it's really, really low, and you pick up some, maybe it's lower next week, and you want to still have a little dry powder to continue purchasing with.
And if things work out well, you eventually wind up playing with house money instead of your money, which is always a good thing, too. If you want to learn more about the services provided by True Code Capital, their website is the obvious, truecodecapital.com. Yeah, Josh also has a book coming out, Cryptocurrency Risk Management, a guide for the family wealth manager. Sounds like very important information that you just might want to get a hold of as well. Joshua Peck, thanks so much for being here today.
Great. Thanks for having me, Chris.